I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
She's been excused.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Okay, so this meeting is to go over our revenue and expenditures for the 2020 budget, and to have a high-level budget exploration with May Miller. And so I'm just going to let May share her screen, and we'll go over the budget figures.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council, for sitting in on our Zoom meeting tonight. Before I start with a presentation that you can look at, I just wanted to go over kind of what the rules are for budget, because RCW just has all kinds of built-in deadlines. Evidently, budget's always been a big deal, even way back then. I think these are pretty old, but they've challenged finance directors then to go over, and mayors to go over, all the operating funds' current year budgets to see how we're doing on our revenues and expenditures. And that really sets the basis for next year and sets what we think the beginning fund balance might be for next year. So that's the first and most important part of this meeting is to review this year. The second part is to look at then, besides this year's expected revenue, what do I think that might be next year? And what might the expenditures be this year? And usually it's based on some July and early August information because we start this early. So they're always preliminary. The numbers, we come back and say, here's our preliminary view of the budget. And we have several hearings and opportunities where we can have input and make changes. And numbers will change between now and even the next session because new information comes in every day. And then they also challenge us, well, what might the budget look like for the entire city, meaning all the capital and all the debt and all the special revenue. So usually those are kind of carryover numbers this early because we haven't really met and reviewed all those capital projects as well as all the operating funds. And so we'll fine tune those and come back to you later with different numbers and different details on the capital and the special funds. And then the last thing the RCW says is that we need to go over any debt that we owe, how much do we owe, and what is the budget numbers for next year. So I'll be covering all those items tonight. And we will have two really detailed meetings towards the end of October, where we break out the general fund. We start at 5:30 and we go like 2 hours, and the directors will be at the Zoom meeting and they'll all talk about, you know, what their budget challenges are and why the dollars are what they are in their budgets and at the first meeting. And so that's usually at least a 2 hour meeting with a lot of details talking about all the sections and everything. And then the following meeting, Seth usually goes over all the special revenue funds, all his utility funds, and all the capital projects that were adopted in previous capital plans and what changes there are to those. Like some we won't do because we've already got grants and finished those. Others, the price may have gone up or the facts may have changed. So we'll spend a lot of details in the following two meetings where the department heads will be available to go over all those items and answer any questions. So as at a preliminary level, I just wanted to go over that with you, and I'll try to bring up my presentation then.
Hey, May.
Yes?
Could you turn the TV off behind you?
I will see if I can figure out where to turn it off. Tammy, I'm not sure where the turnoff is on that because with my eyesight, all the little buttons are black and they're either in the back or on the side. So I've got it totally muted.
Okay.
I can put a blanket or something over it.
It's just a lot of movement back there.
Okay. Well, let me see. I've got something here I can put over it. Perfect. How's that look?
Much better. Thank
you. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Just always start with a beautiful picture of Washington State. However, these are pictures we're allowed to put into the document. And our table of contents, which just shows the summary I talked about. So we're going to start with the general fund. And what I'm going to be talking about tonight primarily.
Your document's not shared.
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, let me go down. Crap, I did that again. So when I make it small, there it is. Okay, share. All right, there it is.
There we go.
Got it.
Good job.
I practiced today after I had some problem. Okay, so the columns I'm going to be going over primarily are the first three columns on the left with 2020. And these are the adopted budgets. And then the actuals through June, so halfway through the year. And where I believe year end will be. So line one, beginning cash. Last year at this time, we thought the budget was going to start the year in January with $2,387,486. But by the time we got through the whole year, we actually started with a higher number. And that's a real final number from last year that began this year's budget. So that's the amount we begin with in the budget process. That's last year's ending balance. Property tax. Property tax through June, we were running about 50%, and that was good. I think we had delinquent payers, but we have new building owners that made a first half or partial payment on their new construction or new homes. So it kind of offset any late payments that we might have had. So I'm expecting by year end that we will be right at budget, maybe 2% under, I estimated. Which is about normal for what you adopt and what you finally actually collect in cash. In a cash city, we can only record what people pay, not what they owe. In accrual accounting, you record both. We, however, have not received any information from King County to project next year's revenues. And you'll see where I've in blue, where I've projected next year's revenue at $125,000 higher than last year's budget. But I have no idea if that's a good number or not, because it's a toss of the dice here. I'm hoping, I emailed them a couple weeks ago and they said, oh, it'll be coming out shortly. But usually we get it sometime in October. I'm hoping that we'll have it for sure by the time we meet in October. But that's my early estimate. It's about how much our increase was last year. Sales tax, way back in August when we put last year's budget together, I thought we'd collect $760,000. However, through June, we're ahead of that, and I'm expecting we're going to be at $946,000 by year end. I decreased that just slightly because we've been going at a really high clip this year, and with a lot of permits coming in, I can't guarantee or forecast with confidence that they'll stay that high all year long next year, because I keep reading about Boeing's moving and other businesses going out, and it's just tough to project. So you don't want to over budget your revenue and then plan to spend it. You want to be a bit on the cautious side. But we'll have another month by the time I come back to you again, and we'll be able to update that number with another month's information. Sales tax assistance comes from the state, and that's if we're not receiving what they say is our proper per capita amount for the number of citizens, they give us an assistance, and we can get up to $100,000 a year. But since our sales tax has been growing, that amount has decreased, and I think next year we won't probably get any, and we may not even get $4,500 this year. We did get some in January and February. Utility tax and gambling tax are a tough one because there are a lot of lines. Puget Sound Energy is the biggest payer into this, and I'm not sure what their rates are going to do this year. I'm not sure what the weather will do next year, the rest of the year and next year. The other large payer into this is Comcast. And I know people are trying to cut the cord with Comcast, so I expect that'll be down some. So I haven't budgeted a large increase, but some based on what we are through June. Even though businesses were closed in the spring, people were still watching TV and they still had power and we still paid water bills. So it's a fairly true figure. Next year, I budgeted about a 5% increase. Again, because some of those may be lower next year. Telephones also are in there, and a lot of people are decreasing their phone bills also. So we've seen some decreases and some increases. And again, next month, I'll have another month's information. Cable franchise fee is a 5% franchise fee that we charge cable customers and cable companies. That was put in place a long, long time ago. And through half a year, we'd received about right on 50%. So I'm estimating we'll be there. But next year, again, I think that customers are trying to find cheaper ways to get cable. And especially if some of our citizens are unemployed next year because of their job loss, it could even be slightly lower than that. Business license. I was really shocked that we already had received half of our budget, or a little over through June. But the state now licenses, and they license based on when those businesses first got their license. So my hunch is we may get a bigger percentage in January. We don't have a year to look at to compare. So I think we'll be close to budget based on June. Next year, I said, I just don't know if all of our businesses will relicense, because that's also home occupancies and other cable companies, phone companies, long distance phone companies. It's hard to know if everybody will relicense. So I only decreased it $1,500 next year.
Hey, May, did we see any bump up in that now that that's kind of a combined thing with the state, and it's easier for people to you know, say that they're working here and have and thus pay that license? They don't have to individually come to us and pay it. Now they can do it all in one portal.
Well, I think we have, because we're at 50%, because I really thought that others that because people that serve Black Diamond residents, even if they are not a Black Diamond resident, our business, they still have to get a license. And I had thought some of those might go out of business. Like, you know, I don't know, car companies, whatever. A lot of people get licenses because they sell to Black Diamond businesses. So it's hard to judge until we get to December if that will really end with the virus. It's hard to project this as a normal year. So I was surprised it was this high. So I think we probably are getting some growth, but it's hard to know.
Okay.
Liquor profits and excise tax, that is a per capita amount from the state. And it was a little less than 50% by June. So I said it'll be just slightly less by December. And because we have more residents, maybe a slight increase next year over what I expect this year. But it's a decrease from our budget last year. Our EMS, this is a King County fire amount that we get from every year, a levy, about $62,000. And our recycle grants, which reimburse our cost, are budgeted $78,700. We haven't yet received the EMS, but we will. And so I know we'll receive that. I wasn't positive what our recycle grants are going to be. We may indeed be at budget when I get those final numbers, but I was cautious here. Next year, I said there might be a 3% growth because King County does some of theirs on a per capita basis and our population's gone up some. Community development revenue. This is all the permits, plan checks, land use, all the money that community development receipts in a year. And it was, we budgeted $1.2 million last year. Through June, we were already at $1.1 million. I was like, whoa. And that was with 2 months of being closed. So it picked up quickly in April, May, and June, mid-April kind of. And I've run reports to see where we are right now, and I really believe we'll be at 2.3 by year end, and that is huge. I mean, we never ever expected that many of them would come in that fast. It does include a little bit of commercial, but very little. Again, next year, I can't guarantee they'll be at that level all year, so I reduced it slightly from where I think we'll end the year based on the data through September 15th. It's possible we could exceed that, but again, you don't want to budget high numbers, always saying, oh, yep, it's going to increase all year and never fall off. You want to be a bit on the conservative side. So I reduced it by 300,000 from where I think it'll be at year end. And again, we'll have another month's data and we'll know more from Andy about what their intents are next year. This is what builders pay when they're building out there. And so it's a good, healthy number.
Is that on a per, how is that calculated? Is that on a per lot basis or a per permit or per?
When Oak Point sells a bunch of lots to a builder, the builder buys them. And then the builder develops their plans for what kind of houses they're going to put on there. And they bring them into community development. And as soon as they bring those in to be accepted, they have to pay the full fee. This is months ahead of where they will be to start building and start inspections and way ahead of when they'll ever be ready to sell.
So if we get our backlog cleaned up, this number could go up?
No, they pay. Well, I think a lot of them have already paid because just in the last few months, we've seen a significant amount of increased permit activity.
They have to pay when they apply for the permit.
Yes, yes, they pay when they apply for
the permit. That first payment they make when the permit, the original application is accepted?
Yep,
yes.
They pay.
So the delays in the permitting process that we have currently isn't affecting that because
they already get that. Not at all.
It just makes them more angry because they've already paid their permit.
Yes, yes.
And their permit's not moving forward.
So just don't believe everything you see. Fear.
Anyway, the kind of the concern is that even though we've collected $2.3 million, it would be probably maybe next July through September before those would even be ready for their first inspection. So there's always a big lag on the expenditure side of that because we've got the money in, we're holding it. They're going through all the plan checks and reviews and starting to build it. But there's quite a lag there when we actually do the inspection. So we always have to have more money coming in and then the expenditures will increase in future years. So the police department, their primary revenue is their Saturday traffic school. And it was closed, I believe, in March and April. And I think even on in, I'm not sure when they started again, but it was definitely lagging when we through June. And even when I look at the reports through September, it's still lagging what it has in the past. So I decreased next year's budget. I did a trend for all of last year and all of this year and tried to look at every month and make a more realistic estimate for next year. So I believe it'll be down about $26,000. That also includes money we get from Enumclaw, and Enumclaw was giving, I think, gave us $18,000 last year. And so far, they haven't brought in any money since March. And Jamie said she doesn't know when or if they'll start Saturday schools again. It's available, but they haven't started the way I understand it, the process yet. So that's affecting that revenue also. The court revenue, we budgeted $145,000 through June. We only were at $49,000, so that would indicate you might only get $100,000. Court has done an excellent job getting their video courts up and going. And so we've seen some increase, but this revenue is only if the defendant pays their fine, not what, how many cases we see or anything. And so the more indigent people we have out there, the less cash we're going to have to put in this fund. So I think it'll be down through the end of the year, and even next year, if it goes up to $130,000, that would be because we have more citizens, and there's still a lot of indigent people out there that don't pay their fines. So it's a hard one to budget, but I think these are realistic numbers. Parks revenue, $35,400 budgeted this year. That about $25,000 of that is the Lake Sawyer parking fees. The rest of it then, about $10,000, $12,000, is from the gym. And that's from Jazzercise, who was doing $24,000, and from rental of the gym. The gym has been closed since March. Jazzercise has been closed since March.
May? Mm-hmm. The gym is opening back up
First
week of October, and Brock already has it full.
Good. And so that's why I didn't decrease the revenue that much. I think we'll be at least at $29,950. And spacing will probably affect the Jazzercise revenue a little bit. And then we've got, you know, from October, November, and December to get money. So I budgeted last year closer to what we have. I just don't know how long that virus will affect spacing and caution by people to use it. So I put $32,200 for next year. And also, sometimes we have a really cool summer and then the Lake Sawyer revenue falls off. So again, I want to be a little bit cautious there. And I'm expecting probably, if the virus goes away and everything, will exceed that number. Yes?
And I guess this is a general question. So I know that we had talked about ways that we are going to try and control the activity on Lake Sawyer. And one of those ways would include increasing the fees in terms of parking or a boat launch fee.
I hadn't heard that.
I guess that's a question for the group. I'm not on that committee, so I'd kind of like to find out where we are on that.
Well, I don't know that we've done anything about the boat launch fees yet. We've talked about them, but in talking with Jamie, there isn't any way to control the amount of boats that go on the lake except for increasing that fee. But a lot of people still don't pay the fee. They park on Lake Sawyer Road so that they don't have to pay the parking fee. So I don't know, but we haven't had that discussion yet.
And if we raise the fees out there, then I think just like the mayor stated, we'll find that more people are parking along the roads out there and avoiding parking in the feed area. And that may cause us another big issue that we didn't want.
Agreed. And I am not necessarily saying I know the answers, but I'm not quite sure why we couldn't install or implement a boat launch fee and control the traffic of the number of boats that are on there. And I think what we talked about was doing a study of looking about the lakes around the area and finding out what they do to control it. I know Lake Taps this year announced that they were going to limit the number of people going into the park. And so if they can do that, I would think we could do the same for the number of boats that are going on the lake.
Well, let me know if any of that comes about, and I can certainly.
We could look at shifting the fee that's there currently to be a boat launch fee instead of a parking fee, right? Because there's only a handful of parking spots there, and Council Member Didi was saying, people are just going to continue to park on the side of the street there.
We must get a lot of people paying. Our fee, I think, is $5. And we collect $25,000 just on parking fees, so surely you wouldn't have that many boats.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's nothing to consider at this point, it sounds like.
No, but May, there's also parking for the park. They have to pay if they park in the
stall. Oh, I see, okay.
So it's not just boat and trailer parking. So.
Okay, thank you. All right, cemetery revenue. Boy, that's a tough one. You don't know how many Saturday services you're going to have or how many niches you're going to sell. So through June, we had 1,500. We had a few more between June and now, so I showed that we'd be about 5,500. I think that's what we've got in there now. And I said, well, maybe we get $200 more next year. It's a tough one to budget. Charges for service and miscellaneous, $70,300. That is was our passport service. And we used to make quite a bit on that, but we haven't had that for a while. First, we didn't have any staff. And then we had the virus, so we don't have anything included in there next year because, again, we don't know when this is going to end or how this is going to work. But the rest of it is interest income. I would say 50 or 60,000 is interest income, and the interest rates have fallen about in half from what they were. They had really started increasing, and retirees were really glad about that, but with the virus, they've really fallen off, and I don't anticipate they'll be increased that much next year. I could be surprised, but that's what I put in there for next year.
Do we think on the passport side, as our licenses run out of their used to be used for international travel, if we ever can travel internationally again, that we'll see a jump there as people go to get their passports to go to places they normally would just show their driver's license, like Canada or Mexico? Or do we think we'll see a bump there?
We could. Again, knowing when that's going to happen and how many people are going to rush back, in order to put it in a budget is a tough one to do. So I just don't know on that one. I get the passport news, and they're running way like months and months behind. So if you apply now, it takes a long time to get a passport because everybody had closed down. So now they have to go through one site or online or something. And it's a very slow process. So we could see a return to that, and we could see a return to normal. But if one of you guys want to let me know when that's going to be, I'll sure put that in. The last line there in what we call operating revenue that pays our operating expense is the funding agreement with Oak Point. for the MDRT, and that pays for the module that they're in. It pays for all their staff. It pays for their supplies and their gas and their car and their technology and their building maintenance and those operating costs. I just put in what our budget was. It's hard number to know. No matter what revenue number I put in there, the same will go in on the expense side because it at 100% is reimbursed. So it's kind of an immaterial number as far as going high or low.
We moved the city hall offices. Are we going to still account for their square foot
use? Yes. Right now, it's, I think, about a quarter of the new building would be theirs, and a quarter public works, and a quarter community development, a quarter city hall. So I haven't got any exact dimensions. That was just a ballpark number I heard. There is some increased cost expected for next year. Technology is with all the Zooming and automation things we've had to do, and the demand there, I think, is increased prices for technology. We're anticipating some additional cost for Rob, not just for him, but his group. And certainly we've seen a lot of new subscription costs come through that are way, way higher, or there didn't used to be. Before, you just buy a product, you'd be paid off. But now the new companies know you pay an annual subscription or permission to use for products. So we've seen that increase. And also liability insurance is expected to increase next year, and health insurance. So that's an early estimate. I haven't had a chance to even go over those numbers with Andy, and we haven't met with Oak Point at all. So definitely those numbers probably will change. They usually do between now and the next session. And I would almost guarantee that they will again.
Well, as technology shifts from capital expense, on-site kind of stuff to a kind of the cloud model and service, right? Operating instead of capital. So
yes,
we're not the only ones seeing it, right? Every company in the world is doing that shift and shifting stuff from a capital expense to an operating expense.
Yes, you are exactly right. Thank you. So anyway, I show the total budget, and I'm showing that mainly because of permitting, we're going to be over budget in revenue. And again, the slight decrease is the few things I talked about next year, but it's still $1 million higher, primarily in the permitting area and in property tax and sales tax, which really go with sale of new homes from the development and sales tax from all the material that they're putting in the development. So pretty development related increase over last year's budget. Down at the bottom, these are kind of odd things. Last year, we got our virus grant. We didn't know we were going to get one. I'll have to have a budget change in December. We just received word, last week that we got that extra $67,625, and you guys okayed $35,000 of that to go to community center for our hardship program. The rest, I'm assuming, will all be spent for technology because we certainly have a need out there. So we're anticipating we're going to get it all spent this year and get in the reimbursement. I'm not sure that how fast they cut checks, but even if we don't get it this year, we'll get it first part of next year.
We should highlight that number in the next newsletter that goes out, because that's a significant amount of money we turned around and gave back to the community. Right.
Well, no, it's most of it was getting ourselves up and going. It was all the legal stuff. It was all the technology so that businesses could operate. And so we could get courts up with their technology. And so we could get Barb up with all her permitting stuff. And
right. But we did give a significant amount back to
It's going to be in the newsletter.
Yeah, you're right.
We gave to the community center.
Right. And not in that is also, I know Kevin was out giving out supplies and masks and stuff too. So, right. And AWC, this is our liability insurance, and the state decided that it belonged over in the general fund, not in other funds where we had it before. So in December, we had to make an accounting change to start accounting for 12 months of liability insurance, which we pay all during the year, 12 to 12. And then in December, we cut a check to AWC for that amount. Next year, we expect it'll go up, I think it was like 8%. And then the consultants are all of the engineering and all the consultants that Andy oversees for the development. Through half a year, we were at $663,000. Again, I just put what we budgeted because no matter what it ends up, that's how much we're going to get back. I could decrease that amount and it wouldn't really matter because the two numbers offset one another. We do have a proposition request from Oak Point that it changed just slightly, and that one I believe has already been agreed on, and so I did put in more of an accurate number in this line, and it's going down $190,000. So if you look at line 17, our revenue is up, expected to be up 16.7% next year. And that's just operating. The other is offset with odd things for the total. On the expenditure side, council, your budget was pretty much half. I said you probably won't spend it all this year because a lot of the training has been canceled or reformatted, and I'm not positive how much of that you'll all access this year.
Well, and some of it was free. The AWC right. stuff was free this year. So.
Right, yeah, the changing format and everything. So next year I put a slight increase in there for a little bit of additional training for council. Executive mayor's budget, she gets that huge salary. her entire budget, $15,757. And again, her training was the same where she got some free or covered by grants, so it'll be slightly less. And she has a $4 increase next year, I believe, workers' comp or something increased just slightly. Administrative service covers city clerk. It covers my budget, finance. It covers technology. And it covers central service, which is kind of non-department. It benefits the whole city. We allocate most of that. Like we put copier paper in there because we buy it in bulk. And then we reimburse part of those costs. And some of it stays here for the whole city newsletters and everything. We were down a little bit half a year. Some of our staff were, I think, were, again, not having training. Other costs were down. And I'm saying we'll be down through December. I looked at every line of everybody's budget and where they are today. And that looks like a reasonable number. However, next year, again, because of those technology changes and why it's not higher is because we do allocate it. We allocate some of our staff and clerk staff and technology back to the utility funds. And technology is also allocated back to direct service like police service funds. So that overall increase is 5.5%. Legal services, our budget was $200,000. That was based on prior years. Through half a year, which is really only 5 months, we were at $51,567. I've got the bills through August, and it's really been running quite a bit under budget this year. And part of that, we're paying David to do some of the virus stuff, but the grant is covering those, so it's not included in this number. It's separate, but that wouldn't have been part of this budget anyway, because that's extra work that he's doing. Next year, he does have in his contract a COLA type rate increase. I went back to the prior year. We never know who might file lawsuits or appeals or how much negotiation for union contracts are or whatever. So I increased it only 2%. Prosecuting attorney and public defender, $95,000. Again, that's most of the professional service invoice payments are only through May that we paid through in June, because it's a month before they bill us and we get the invoice, the payment out. It looked like they were still a little bit under trend. Next year it is going up, because I don't remember whether, I think it was the public defender contract changed and increased slightly. So I increased that by $5,850 based on the new contract. Municipal court, their budget, they have had a one position short pretty much all year. And so they are definitely running below budget, and they may have good news and get a staff person, but it'll still just be for the last few months of the year. So I anticipate they'll come in under budget, and also their training is under budget. Next year, they are going to get an O Court, possibly a grant for an O Court program, which the other courts have, which really helps them be more automated with this virtual court they're doing. And that system, if they get it, will have a maintenance amount. So we put that in. Some health insurance and liability insurance kind of increases that trickle through their budget. So $20,000. Police department, they have a large budget to cover all of our public safety in the city. They were running about, not quite at 50%, but some of their expenditures, like Valleycom and some jail, all run a month behind. So I know that, and so I looked at very closely at their numbers, and I think they're going to come in very close to budget by year end. Some of their training now is fee training through Zoom and other sources, and it's mandatory training they have to have. So I don't see a huge saving there in their budget. Next year's budget is up 15.8%. Again, it's some technology, some health insurance, liability insurance, two vehicles, and that's $130,000 of that. Put in a request for one officer. So that also includes that one position. And Jamie will go over that more when we meet next time. Fire department, $571,376. They were close to budget, a little over budget, a half year. And I anticipate that we're going to have to go ahead and do the extra money for the fire study. We have to transfer out, because we had $35,000, but the study itself was like $56,000. So we're going to have to transfer some money out, and I put that transfer out in this year-end expenditure estimate. Next year's budget, they put in the request for next year, and it's higher because they had a union contract labor increase, and their contract allows them to request that. So that's what accounts for their 7.4% increase. The EMS and recycling expenditures that we have related to that, animal control, mental health, they're all kind of mandated expenditures. We budgeted $35,200. We hadn't yet paid for recycle, and that we still have the lag in timing of that also. So we'll be close to budget by year end, simply because some of the bills are coming in late on some of these government bill amounts. Next year, I anticipate it would go up $2,400. And again, as our population goes up, some of these mandated, you have to put this much in for mental health. You have new citizens who have new dogs. I anticipate that'll be up $2,400. MDRT, again, I put in their budget for expenditures. They were running a bit over, but I think their main overtime didn't really start till July, and they work a lot of overtime and are right now, so I anticipate they'll be close to budget by year end. Next year, it's the same amount I talked about on the revenue side. Again, I haven't just gone over the numbers with Andy, nor with Oak Point, so that no doubt will change some. It shouldn't be significant, but it could be a little less than that. Community development, their budget was $1,091,399. They had vacancies in their department, and they have a big lag. We were closed, so we didn't have a lot of consultant and invoice type payments. So through June, they were really running a lot behind. That's usually only May invoice expenditures anyway. They've definitely been very busy since they started back up again, and I anticipate they'll be at $965,000 through year end, because they still have one vacant position, and that's what it looks like. Next year, we expect that they need more staff because of that lag. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to have more inspections. We're going to have more cars, more everything, you know, to keep up with that growth and really provide the services they need in that department. More planning. You've authorized the new planner, which wasn't in last year's budget, so that's an additional position I had to add to the budget next year. So that's what increased that, and it's the net increase is less, a little bit less than even the revenue, so it's very reasonable. Facilities.
You had mentioned earlier a change in the MDRT contract, about $190K. Do we need to reflect that in line 10?
No, that's down here on this bottom line, because that's the consultant part of it. See the bottom line here?
Okay. Line 20.
Yeah. Okay, going back to facilities. Facilities is Kevin's operating budget. It's his small emergency management, not virus, but normal kind of training he does and supplies he buys. And that's also the rental of the large mod. It's the rental of our building. It's the payment for the land. It's all the utilities, all that. In this budget, I anticipate that will be up some next year. We have to send back the mods. We don't know I think right now, what the timing of when we start paying rent and when the building will be painted and all ready, and when we'll be able to send those back. And these numbers are very vague. They definitely could change because Kevin's had surgery and has been off, and we're haven't completed all the details of that. So that number is a real soft number right now. It could be up, it could be down. Parks Department. Yes.
Well, this is probably more of a question for the mayor, but mm-hmm. I'm just curious, you know, we need a lot more employees. And with the move into the regular building where you're located at, moving everybody over there, and with new employees that we need to hire, what is the capacity at the admin building there, where City Hall is, where you're at, May? Carol, maybe you could answer.
It's 8,000 square feet, so it's about 1,500 square feet more than we have now.
So I'm just curious on the modules. Would it be wise of the city to keep one to use, even maybe for the police department to use, because they're definitely outgrowing that space? I'm just curious, you know, before we send them back, I just think that, you know, it's worth looking at if we
need. Well, I haven't really had a conversation with Mario, but I think he wants those moved. I think he wants to do something with the property.
And the rental that we have to pay per month on those
is really
pretty expensive. It's way more than what we pay at City Hall, and way more than what we are paying at, you know, would pay anywhere. I think the mod rent is fairly high.
I was just curious, you know, as if the police department could use one, you know, I know when they're outgrowing their space there, you know,
yes,
one could be utilized up there. And I think the cost to send it back is $15,000, correct? One?
Oh, it's $11,000 for both of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they reduced it significantly.
And they were bought out by a different company, and they just have a different policy, so.
Okay.
Yeah, right. But that's a good thought, Tammy, and Sutton, that definitely in the spring when we go over the Capitol, I mean, that's really going to be absolutely a top priority to look at space and where we are and everything.
Right. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yes, all right. So so our revenue was up, let's see, $1 million dollars. And the expenditure side is up about a million dollars. So it's something I look at every year, because you want to try to stay within your means, you know, kind of, so that you're not totally depleting your money. Again, I can see the expenditure side will continue to grow, especially with the lag in the permitting. If the construction's continues to stay up, I think it's trickling through all the departments and all the staff, and we're all feeling a bit strained with all the just simply growth and how many of everything it is we're doing right now. So for this year, though, this is what we've got in there right now. We're early. So on the expenditure side also, I have the expenditure side of that grant. We'd already spent $38,000 through June, but again, that's May's bills, and we hadn't really received that many bills through May. And the AWC accounting change, last year we had to move cash over to the general fund in December, and then we paid for last year's insurance in January, and it got put in the January in 2020 budget, so I had to account for that payment we made, and I'll have to cover it with the budget, but the cash was definitely in the beginning. We moved it. And then our this year's insurance payment, we're going to time it better this year. So all 12 months will come in during the year, and we'll pay it all in December, not January. So we'll get the thing straightened out this year. So they're both timed in the same year. And then last, on line 19, the TBD is still not been resolved. We lost at least $100,000 from that, and straight costs have continued to increase, and the source of revenue just isn't there. So this year, at a minimum, we're going to have to transfer in $150,000 out of the general fund just to keep street, pay their M&O, their operating costs. And next year, I looked at their budget, probably at a minimum, we'll have to transfer $170,000, and I see that continuing to grow. We don't know how any cities are going to resolve how they pay for transportation. The Olympia hasn't really addressed that very well. A lot of cities are struggling with the same problem. I've heard suggestion, street utility tax. We used to have one of those. It worked pretty good in Kent where I was, but we haven't had it for a long time. I don't know the answer, but I have a feeling the virus and the shortfall is going to take all the legislature's energy this year, and I doubt they'll get it solved. We don't know. We got a call today. Why am I still paying TBD? And the state's still collecting it, and because it hasn't been resolved, and we still have it in our account. It hasn't been resolved. We're not spending it. If that is upheld, we have to return the money to the state. The state has to return the money to all the people who paid it. So it's a complex issue, one I wished we didn't have. The MDIRT line, as you mentioned, line 20 is decreased by that same amount on the expenditure side. So we're down to our ending. We started with more money. That was part of it. And then our revenue in permitting grew by $1 million this year. So we've ended with more money this year, the $1 million from the previous year, the $1 million from this year. But next year, we're going to pull that down some because staffing side, the expenditure side of that, that lags when we get permits and when we get revenue, is starting to increase on the expenditure side. And I think we'll definitely continue to see that in the future, especially in the permitting area. Do you have any questions there on that one? I'll go through this and then we can go into the other issues, any other issues. Street fund, their gas, their beginning balance, unlike general fund where we started with more money, they started with less money. Gas tax, we're receiving less, people are driving less, we'll be lucky to get 75,000. Even with more population, I think we'll be lucky to get 75,000. Every year we've seen it go down. People are driving electric cars. It's I think eventually going to go away almost. We're getting some permit money because they do street cuts and right-of-way permits and all that. And so that's helping a little bit. And then we just have some other miscellaneous revenue that pays interest income and labor that we can charge out. Primarily interest income. In the budget next year, I'm saying, hey, we're going to get less money in revenue, operating revenue. So how we make up what we need is we're transferring 70,000 from REIT. There's a law that says cities can transfer up to 100,000 out of REIT for maintenance. And we already put 30,000 over in capital for miscellaneous maintenance projects. And so this is the balance that we are allowed to transfer. So I put that in this year and next year. And again, put the transfer in from general fund. So you'll see the total revenue here is 336 for this year and 353 for next year because I'm transferring in more. And if you just look at line 16, you'll see their expenditures out of 336 revenue is 305 and 385. So we're not even really kind of keeping up in this area. It's a serious area for us. The employees' salaries and benefits on the expenditure side, they're just slightly less. Some of the employees were not in all of March, and so we saved a little. Next year, we've added one public works worker to try to keep up with all the permitting type inspections and whatever all they're doing related to all the growth over there and keeping up with all the calls and service. So that's a quarter of that position. The supplies, we've spent less this year so far, and I think we'll be less in December, slight increase next year. Service and charges, we're lagging even more than being through May. So I think that'll be under for this year, which will be good. Next year, I think our budget is that we need more professional service. Things cost more on the purchasing side. And so this is what Seth's requested. We can go over that more between now and next time, and Seth will be there to answer that when we meet again. And then we transfer out $10,000 just towards capital. So you can see our expenditures have grown. Our revenue, we budgeted last year, we'd start with 58,000. We actually ended up better because we saved on expenditures, or I say we're going to save on expenditures this year. So that'll help ending. And then I take that number and put it up here as beginning for next year on line one and bring it down to the total. But with the extra expenditures next year, we're going to pull that back down to 74,000. And that's barely enough to put the cash flow in there. They need to pay bills. So this is something we got to really keep our eyes on. Yes, Tammy.
So back on employee salary and benefits, mm-hmm. I know the council has alluded to having looking at a city administrator, and I know, you know, the council can put a budget in, the mayor doesn't have to hire anybody. But I'm wondering, Carol, Mayor, if maybe, you know, every department is barely holding on, struggling with everything, you know, that they're so busy. I'm wondering if maybe just you looking at hiring assistant city administrator would help you. You know, I mean, if everybody else is struggling, I got to imagine that you also need help. So I'm curious.
That's not really true. My administrative duties have increased a lot because of COVID, and I'm working more hours than I worked previously because I was working 1 to 5 every day, and I work all day now, but I can't even imagine what I'd have somebody else do.
I was just thinking, you know, help you oversee and work through, you know, what every department's doing. Somebody that could help.
I talk to everybody almost every day, and we have weekly management meetings. So I don't see that there's anything for anybody else to do. May, what were you going to say?
Well, today we saw the email that about a city administrator, and Seth said to me after the meeting, he said, no, I need engineers and I need workers. I mean, he was really emphatic about it. And I heard other departments saying the same thing. We need line people that do the work. We don't need bosses to tell us what to do. We know what to do. We really need the helper out there. Dan's going to retire. Eventually Seth will retire. And he needs workers. And possibly he's talked about adding an engineer, needing an engineer. Because there's more call with all the permitting and all the work going on out there with all the engineering type requests. And we now consult that out, but maybe a position, you know, you want to hire one unless you haven't enough work to keep one busy all year, but we're really, that's just my opinion anyway, from what he said today after our meeting.
So I'm fully expecting that every department is going to be asking for another employee. Right, May? And that
I don't know this year because even in my department I don't want to ask for an employee until we know we have 12 full months worth of full-time employee work.
You just got 2 employees last year.
Well, right? They transferred from Brenda the utilities and the employee, and then we got Jill.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely see in the community development building,
absolutely,
and public works area that they need help.
Yeah, yeah, they need workers, really. A lot of permits now going through, a lot of numbers, a lot of, even the school impact fees, a lot more complex, you know, now. And anyway, that's what some of the staff mentioned to me today, but I'm just one voice.
Miss May, I'm just curious, you know, what the numbers would look like with the city attorney costs and that. Line item number 11. I would like to see that number, please.
Pardon? Why are we talking about a city administrator when we're talking about the street fund?
Well, no, the employee salary benefit number 11 missed out.
But a city administrator doesn't come under the public works or street fund.
It would be distributed to all the funds.
Yeah, I talked to Enumclaw today, and they're kind of lowball budget was around $260,000, for their city administrator, and it's allocated out to street, water, sewer, storm, and these utility budgets, and would really, I don't know how we could allocate more costs to them, but this is common in all cities that I've worked with, and all cities I work with currently, and even Enumclaw, I confirmed today, yes, they do. I checked with them after I got the email, and their population is 12,600, ours is 5,000. Their sales tax is 2.3, ours is 800. So they have a different kind of a revenue mix.
How many city employees do they have versus us?
I didn't ask that question, but they're more than double our size in population.
Okay, so I was just bringing that up because we're talking the budget. Uh-huh. And we're looking at, you know, May stated in line 11 that we're bringing in another public work, so that budget came up. So I was just bringing that up as a discussion because this is the time where we
absolutely
add positions. So that's Aaron. That's why I brought it up.
Perfect. Yeah, this is exactly the appropriate time to ask any of those questions like that. And this is the position we added is the lowest worker level because, you know, originally when I first was hired, we had all directors and then we were just struggling because directors were doing all the entry because we didn't have workers and we've sort of got caught up to that until now when we're really growing and so many more transactions trickling through all departments and we're kind of short on workers again.
I would say like a 260K, that must be a blended cost, including benefits and all that stuff. Because I think that would be really hard for people to swallow an additional $250,000 for a city of, you know, right now we're 5,000 people. We'll be even at 10,000 people, that would be hard to swallow until we're a much larger city staff, right? Because, you know, I've managed teams of 30 people and people in industry don't get paid that much to manage teams like that.
Yeah, I checked with two cities. I checked with Buckley and Enumclaw, and they both just salary, no benefits, was right at $200,000. And a lot of city administrators have, you know, they usually belong to professional organizations. They do national training. They a lot of times have a car. And I mean, we've gone through city administrators before, and I know their budgets were pretty large, even just from our experience. I think it's the going rate right now for city administrators. And I do think, you know, as we grow and grow, when we double, we're going to be in population, we're going to be in a totally different place. And hopefully our sales tax revenue, which is really inflated. I think our base sales tax revenue is probably about $400,000 a year, and we're getting close to $900,000. That's all building permit related stuff. If that stuff slows away, we could go right back to $400,000, and because it's not a sustainable revenue at that. We need more commercial, and hopefully that's coming because we kept saying we're going to start building. Now we have, and I'm now saying we're going to do commercial. And I'm hearing rumors that some of that's going to start, and that's what will really help us grow in a city sustainable revenue.
Yep, sales tax income from commercial. Hear that, Andy?
Okay, back onto Water Fund. Water Fund, however, is doing better, and why Water Fund's doing better is. When I started projecting revenue for Water Fund, I guess I hadn't thought of irrigation. And we sell meters, we install meters, we do irrigation out there. And so that was one thing. And then we've really grown now that we've started faster than what any of our trends had shown. And so now we have new customers. And so that's really improved just the regular water charges because I had underestimated what all that would be and how quickly that would happen. So their revenue, even though on line six it was $1.1 million, I'm saying it'll be at $1.2 million. It's not that significantly over what we budgeted. And next year, I'm again a bit conservative. I just don't know they're going to stay at that level for all 12 months next year. So I decreased it just slightly for over where I think it's going to end this year. Still a 12% increase. And that if you add like 120 houses, because you don't add them all in January, you add some in January, February, and you average it out, you only get to count half of those in a full year's rate. So I've calculated all that in. Palmer Koch continues to pay $96,000 in towards our debt. It was an agreement we did years and years ago when we took on the water debt, and he's faithfully made his payment every year that helps offset our debt payment in water. And then we have consultants now that are depositing money to pay extra charges for traffic studies and whatever, so it's offset by expenditures on the other side. They deposit in to have studies done, and then we pay the consultants to do the studies. Again, this is an area where an engineer would probably reduce some of this, because we're paying out consultants now to do this work. And it's not only in this account number, but down in their service and charge account number where we're paying consultants to do engineering type stuff and that. So our total revenue is going to be up a little bit, very close, similar to what general fund is, and kind of reflects the same growth. The salaries this year, again, some of the employees were off part of March, I believe. And so we're, and some of the training didn't happen. So we're a little bit under for expenditure estimate for December. Supplies, same thing. We're running, again, a lag. But even with a lag, we were closed a couple of months there. And so they're running a bit under, catching up some. Service and charges, that's all the professional agreements we have to pay, electricity and all the things you pay. We'll have a more detail of what all that is in the next go-round. That's also running, even with the lag, running under this year. So we're actually saving some money on the expenditure side. We have enough revenue that we can transfer out to capital reserve. That's what you're supposed to do in utility funds. You have to fund your capital projects. And I'm saying we can transfer an extra $100,000 this year because we saved some. And then we transfer $10,000 for purchasing equipment. We also make our debt service payment every year. And again, that $95,000 helps offset that. We collect it before we make our payment in June. And then the consultant cost, I just offsetted the above number. On the budget side, line 11, the salaries, this is a quarter of the new position, and just a minimal increase in supplies, some in service and charge. And then, oh, line 14, I guess I skipped that line, Tacoma franchise. This is the agreed upon maintenance charge. They just started charging us last year because they've been maintaining it for a long time and we hadn't been using water. It was always scheduled to double next year, or go up to $152,000 next year. So we put that in the budget. They did have to turn on and use some water this year, and we purchased, I think, about $30,000 worth of water so far. I believe Seth talked about turning that back off because we believe the Springs project will be up and running next year, and we won't necessarily have to purchase water from them. So we'll only, we hope, have to pay the $152,000. So this budget is looking stable. We're keeping our ending fund balance. I like to at least have $200,000 in there. I started the ending in December, where I said $571,000, I went up to the revenue side and added that in. But our expenditures are going up $295,000, so it's a good thing we had that. But our growth will help continue to offset that as we have more citizens and more people paying. So this is a stable revenue because these people buy houses and they start buying water, and it's going to continue as long as we're building. So the overall growth there, right around 17%. Sewer fund, this is the one where they were really in trouble before. We've always been transferring in on line 7 from the reserves. We were transferring in 200,000, 100, and I think the final year. We did a rate increase last year, and we had reduced that transfer in from their reserve to 85,000. We, on line 1, we actually ended last year with more money than, and again, because of the unexpected kind of growth and the money paying in, came in higher. Metro is not increasing their rates this year. Their increase is strictly growth of new citizens. Their rate is fairly high, so it adds up pretty fast. Our sewer charge has the rate increase. But because we charge as soon as they drop the meters for water and have the inspection for sewer, we start charging before the houses are even built. So that's really helping us get the sewer revenue, city sewer revenue, we get to keep increase. Next year, again, I was a bit conservative. We'll probably be at the same range as this year, maybe slightly higher, but not that much. Permitting, they do some inspections over there, and Seth does engineering charges on those. They pay it in on the permit, and this comes in through the permit for all the engineering, special engineering reviews he personally is doing over there, where if he had an engineer, he could then manage his department better and not being doing all the engineering himself too, so. It shows up in that line. We got a refund from Metro last year, and the city got to keep 6% that we had was our share of the utility tax portion. So one time only, we won't do that again. And this year I'm showing we're going to have enough revenue. We won't have to transfer out to reserves, and nor will we next year. And that is exactly what we were trying to do with the rate increase. I did budget a rate increase for water, sewer, and storm per our ordinance. Not water, sewer and storm per our ordinance. It's based on June's COLA for the West Coast, CPIU, and that was less than 1%. So I think I calculated it out. It's like less than a dollar for the city fees on sewer and less than a dollar on stormwater per customer, so it's pretty minimal. We did leave it in because that's what our ordinance says. If we would have to change our ordinance if we decide not to do that inflationary increase. And I'll go over that more as we do the next budget session. Salaries and benefits, the same thing. We were closed, so it's a bit under in salaries. Next year, it includes the same quarter of a position. Supplies, as I pulled up September, look like they're closer to budget than some of the other funds. And next year, this is what Seth put in for a budget estimate next year. Service and charges, all the professional services we have to do out of that department is, again, lagged through May, but it looks like with all the activity going on out there in the water or sewer fund that we will be pretty close to budget by year end on expenditures. And Seth did put an increase in next year because he's seeing more activity needed in professional services. Metro, I just offset the revenue we collect up above this line 1, 756. I say that's what we're going to have to turn around and pay them. We don't make a dime on Metro. We just turn around and pay them what we collect. And next year's budget the same. What I show in revenue, I show in expenditures. We sewer fund also transfers only 10,000 out to capital. They do not have enough money to transfer out to capital projects. But I'm hoping by another year with the continued increase in customers that we'll be able to start in the sewer fund. We've stopped transferring in and now we're on the right path. Last fund is our stormwater fund. It actually ended up quite a bit higher. I think I must have underestimated what we were going to get in stormwater charges. I think a lot of it is transferring all the residents to King County. In the city, they were refusing to pay that on their utility bill, and they went into even where we had to file liens on customers. When we, once we transferred those to King County and they show up on their property tax bill, we're getting nearly 100% of what we bill. So that's really improved our revenue collection. We continue to do that every year. Every fall, we send in all the new homes we stole, and they add it annually to their property tax for next year. That's been very successful. Stormwater charges, again, the growth is, and the customers paying has really improved that revenue through December, and I see, it looks like the growth will even exceed that next year. I'll have to really check that number, though. It look, does look a little out of balance with the trend, so I will recheck that number one more time. And our miss, they do some inspections also. They were lagging a bit. I expect them to be about the same next year. The other good news, we had budgeted a grant this year. I called Scott yesterday, and I, or day before yesterday, and he said, well, we didn't do enough to get reimbursed this year, so move the whole grant into the $50,000 grant into next year, and we'll get reimbursed from Department of Ecology. So that was good news for next year. Investment interest falling. Salaries, the same situation as the other departments, a quarter of a position. Supplies pretty much follow the same trend as the other departments. And services and charges, they pay utilities and garbage and water and all kinds of things like all of us do. But that, it, Seth had put in an increased amount. Oh, I know what it is. It's $20,000 more for street sweeping, because now we have all those new streets out there in the development, and we've got to stripe and sweep and take care of our new residents out there. So we're seeing some of those costs also increase and show up in these budgets as we take care of our citizens. They did not transfer, Stormwater did not transfer out to capital because they had used their grant to purchase equipment the years before. So Seth requested in 2020 not to do that, but next year we're going to start that transfer again. And for the first time ever, I show we are going to set up a capital fund for stormwater, and we're going to transfer out $100,000 this year and $100,000 next year. We have never had a, we never even had a capital fund, because we weren't even, we were struggling to just survive in that fund. So we really turned around. The growth is, growth has really helped the utility funds, because it's sustainable. It's not going to come and go with permits. It's homes built and sold. So those are good news, I think, for our utility funds. And last, this is mandated that we show you what all the budgets might be. And in the format for general fund line one, that's our total beginning for next year, and the total revenue shows how much money we'll get in, and then we're going to spend $9,692,000 and end up with that balance I showed before. And that equals, so the total uses and sources must equal, that's called the balanced budget. We did all the numbers that are pulled in there for street, line three. We're right off the street fund. However, the fire impact fees and benefit, transportation benefit district fund and mitigation are carryover numbers from last year, as we simply, Seth and I have not been able to get all those numbers together for you, but those will all be, they're preliminary now, because at least we have a placeholder. We'll have those all done and balanced by the end of October and go over every single one of those numbers with you.
May, should we be concerned that the ending fund balance is $500,000 lower than the beginning fund balance? Don't we want to look, slowly build that fund balance up over time?
So line one, the beginning is $4,300,000, and the ending is $3 million. So it's not that much decreased, and it's helping pay for some of those lag permits. And I see that really continuing as we add more staff throughout the city. Is we have that money now there that we got that will pay for the services we need to provide those residents.
Does the state have a guideline on what a city our size should
We are ahead of the guideline right now. And we need really a higher balance now because of the permitting revenue. If all of a sudden we went into a downturn and our sales tax dropped back to 400,000 and the building permits, we need to be able to continue to operate. And it's in our reserve policy that you would continue to operate. You pull down your reserves, and that's what reserves are in there for. But this is a healthy reserve that we've built up now.
Okay, so we should be concerned that the ending balance is lower than the beginning balance?
No.
Okay.
Not as long as it's still within policy. And it, the other thing is, we're doing this fire study, and we don't know what fire study is going to be, but I will bet that it's going to be quite a bit more than what we've ever thought of paying when we get done. And we're going to have to build that in. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really have really sustainable revenue and be able to have a balance that will help us get through this transition to a new contract or a new annexation or whatever it is we decide after the fire study. So that's another important thing that we really need to keep in mind as we're going forward. That's supposed to be done in December, and then we'll have some time to make a decision of what direction we're going to go and how what they come up with, what those recommendations are. Okay, and so line 8, 9, and 10, again, I pulled all the numbers right off of the worksheets we just went over. And then again, that whole capital group and REIT, all those are just carryovers from last year. So we'll be fine-tuning all those numbers and have them all ready by October. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. So this is just graphically, you can see of the total budget, 41% is general fund. And then capital is the next largest at 36.5%. Utility funds, 13.5%. And then a small amount is our special revenue, that's street and impact fees. And internal service is our equipment fund, and we'll be bringing forward that budget in October also. Last part, debt. Our debt in 2006, we issued a debt of $180,000 for some corrosion control for water. Of $180,000 right now in the middle, we still owe $22,500. And we'll have a debt payment next year of $11,250, interest $113,000. We're getting that debt paid down. The other one is a big 2005. We issued a $5,447,000 debt issue. That was huge. It was buying a Tacoma Intertie 500 million gallon, and the city's portion of the water and pump stations and lines and all that stuff we did. We paid that down. It's down. We owe now $1,181,954. Our payment still runs with interest. Looks like 302, and then total that 314 that was in the water fund. The developer also carries a line of credit for their portion. They still owe $354,000, and every year they reduce that line of credit till this is paid off. And this graph shows that this is the balance we owe into next year, and the following year falls, it ends. Last year we make our payment, 2024. So that will really give us extra money in the water fund to probably start paying Tacoma if we're buying any water as we grow. And also to replace all those asbestos lines that we've long known are out there, and now we'll have funds in place and to be able to afford the staff we need, the engineers and whatever we need to keep our city going for all of our new citizens. The last piece of the debt is we borrowed money in 2017 to buy four police vehicles. When you do a loan, you can set it for 5 years, make equal payments, charge interest. So the general fund every year makes a debt payment of $32,000. That's in Jamie's budget, plus interest. And that will be paid off in 2021. So at that time, we just didn't have any funds. We put off buying cars. So it's a good thing to get that paid off. And now we're starting to get cars as we add officers, and so that we don't get ourselves in this situation anymore. Last thing, the calendar, that's today's meeting. The next meeting down there, item 5, it's our work study. It's on a Thursday at 5:30, because we got a lot to go over, all the general fund, all the revenue, and this is where departments will talk about, you know, what is in their budgets and what they're seeing. And I'll have fine-tuned the revenue, so it takes us a while, probably a couple hours to go over that. Then the next meeting will be a week later at 5:30, and we'll have all the public works stuff and all the capital. So we got a lot of work to get all that stuff ready in a month.
Do we have committee meetings on that next
I think, I don't know if Seth brings that to a public works committee. We had it a long time ago. We did. We haven't had that for a while.
No. What I'm saying is that Thursdays is typically also Thursday at 4 o'clock is typically a committee meeting. Mm-hmm. If we go 4 to 5 for committee meetings and then need to jump back on at 5:30, that may not be enough time for people to do things they need to do.
Is that for public safety?
Well, we just had finance this week, so public safety would be next week, or is planning next week?
Yeah, let me look at my, I've got a calendar right here. That would be a 4 o'clock meeting for finance committee, but we'll just keep our agenda small, or we'll change time on that one or change dates.
Finance committee is on October 8th and October 29th.
Yeah, we just had finance committee.
Yeah, so that's true.
So it would either be, it would be one of the other committees, so.
Yeah. I will check the calendar and make sure. This is one that was adopted here at the top by resolution. Oh, it doesn't have it on here, but it was adopted by council. Again, it's a planning. It's not the law that you have to, but we do have to make sure we get within these dates over here on the edge, which are state law limitation dates when we have to have things done. We're still, you know, within range there, but to be able to go through all the other steps, we have to have our whole document done and out to the public by like November 5th or 2nd.
The 29th is a Tuesday, not a Thursday. Never mind.
No, the 29th is a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
September 29th?
No,
October. Oh, that's October.
October.
Yeah,
I got to scroll down a month. Sorry.
Yeah, scroll down.
That should be finance committee meeting at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
And no committee meeting on the 22nd, but there is on the 29th.
Yeah, and we'll keep that short, or we'll ask if we can move it to a different date, or we'll figure it out so that it'll give you a break there.
All right, that's all.
And then on down, we have to have our whole document done and balanced now, including with the mayor's message, you know, right after that 29th meeting. So we got to really move through this pretty quickly. Then we start having public hearings November 5th on property tax. By then we should have all the stuff from King County, so we know what they're saying. And I'll be bringing back to you at a work study on item 10 on the 5th, what information we've got, what a 1% increase would be at that point. You'll know what all that information, all the council will know what all that information is. We'll have a public hearing on it that night also. And the stuff will be out ahead of time. We have to have it out 2 weeks ahead of time. So we've got to get that out also. And then we have to have that adopted on line 12 by November 19th so we can get the data. There's two ordinances, one that sets total dollar and one that says whether we're going to do the 1% or not. We have to adopt those and get them to King County by November 30th by RCW. And then we'll have our second public hearing that same night. So it'll be a busy night at council. And then we'll have one more public hearing on November 30th. That's on a Monday. They've always had their final one on a Monday. It was, however, the first week in December, and council had kind of expressed, let's try to take December off and see if we can get this done by November. So that's what my calendar shows. And that's really all I had tonight, unless there's any other input or discussion or corrections or...
Councilmember Deedy?
So during one of our council meetings, the council talked about putting some money aside, you know, for purchase of land, or, you know, when we talked about, you know, what is the city's plan down the road for City Hall. And we had talked about just, you know, starting another line item where we put money in every year to save for that. So we had talked, I think it was like 50,000, but, you know, I don't think the council has fully said what we would want to put into that. But I think it's a good idea for council to start looking at, you know, putting a fund together where every year we add to that. And we know that, you know, if there's land out there to purchase, we at least are starting to save some money. I know, you know, it's a long ways out before we build or anything. You know, everybody has a different theory. You know, will we lease? Will we just continue to rent? Will we want to own? And in the meantime, while we don't know, I think it's a good idea that we start saving. So I think with that, I mean, we can have a discussion now or at the next meeting, but I think it's good that May and the mayor know that that is something we would want to do and have that at least started with some sort of fund so that line item can get added.
Yeah, I did set up a building kind of a fund over with equipment replacement. So I set up kind of an equipment and building replacement. So I have a fund set up for that. A lot of times cities use REIT money towards that type purchase, because like you mentioned, if you bought land, it might be $1 million, and gosh, at 50,000 a year, it'd take you a long time to, right. You'd have to wait a long time. So, and that's also something that is more capital, because you want to not only look at just land, but, you know, maybe 10 years out or 20 years out or whatever, some type building or lease or whatever. So I think we're hoping to redo the capital plan in the spring. We deferred it this year. And I think I don't remember if we deferred it last year, but it's definitely time that we need to redo the capital plan. And buildings really are considered capital. Mm-hmm. And even down payments are considered, even though you could, you know, save some cash, but usually even buying a home, you might save a little bit of cash for down payment, but the building itself would be a capital venture, and it would have to be either a voted bond issue by the public, or you'd have to be able to say, no, we can make debt payments out of the general fund. And again, we go back to what's fire going to cost, and can we afford big debt payments right now? Or, you know, when maybe could we afford big debt payments that's sustainable revenue? Again, I go back to that property and sales tax. It got to have really, really sustainable revenue, because, you know, to go ahead and do that. But it's good to plan for it. And I've got a title set up there, and we'll have a worksheet ready at that point, if that would work for you.
Yeah. So that's perfect, May, because we do need to plan, and there so far hasn't been a plan. And I think it's just a wise thing for their council, the city, mayor, and everybody to do is start doing that capital plan and start putting some money into it.
Well, I think the thing that we need to consider that it should be our top priority right now is how we're going to pay for fire service, because in 2 years, after this year, in 2 years, we are going to have to pay $1.5 to $2 million more for fire service than we're paying now. And we have to figure out where that money comes. That should be our very top priority, because we know that in 2 years, we're not going to be paying what we're paying now.
So we need to start a fund for that, right? So we need to start saving for that.
No,
we know we need sustainable income, or we're going to have to change what we're doing. Lay people off or something.
Yeah,
right? let's figure that out.
Sustainable money to be able to do that.
Yeah, if it started at $2 million a year, we'd have to have $2 million the following year and the following year and the following year. So it could only come from sustainable income. And we'll go over that more as we get through the study of what the options are on that.
And during that, we'll have to, you know, once that hits like that, we'll have to go out to the public.
Yes.
For a vote. You know, that isn't just come out of general fund. That's going out to the citizens on a vote.
Yep.
Okay,
good points, though. I really appreciate it. And if you guys think of anything else or you have any other questions, be sure and give the mayor a call. We're always, our door's open. Really, our door isn't open, but our Zoom is.
Yeah.
And our phones are.
Your phone is available.
Your virtual door.
So anybody else have any other questions or anything?
Thank you, May.
All right. Well, we'll be doing a lot of work, and we'll be ready for you again in October, okay?
Thanks, May.
Thanks, May.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.